Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, yeah. A podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Oh. Now, here's your host, Jake.
What's up, y'all? It's Jake, and I am back with Good Company. I can't even begin to tell you guys just the response that we've already got from this podcast starting a few weeks back. I mean, it is unbelievably overwhelming to hear the positive response we're getting from y'all. And I'm so excited to share these small little stories, my friendships with people, family members. I mean, the possibilities are endless where we're going with this. And after the first few weeks, it just feels so great to know that you guys are enjoying what we're doing. So with that said, this week is really special for me because I'm really looking forward to introducing you all to someone that some of y'all that are fans of mine might have seen throughout all the years I've been on the road, my tour manager, Mr. Greg Fowler. He is not just a tour manager. He is almost like a father to me on the road. He's actually the same age as my dad, and he's been out there on the road with me going on 13 years. And Greg has been driving back and forth from Fort Payne, Alabama for 13 years. Every time we leave, every time we load up the bus to head out of town, Greg gets in his car from Fort Payne, Alabama, and drives up to Nashville and hops on the bus and heads out. And I thought it would just be really special to talk to Greg, not only about his relationship with myself and what we've gone through in our 13 years and what he's seen me do and accomplish and what we've accomplished together, but also talk to him about his previous life, which, by the way, he was the guy, the same guy is for me, out with the band you might have heard of before called Alabama. He was with Alabama for 25 years. He tells a great story about how he met Alabama when they were playing at the Bowery in South Carolina in Myrtle Beach, and he was with them from the time they were at the Bowery to the time they went to the Hall of Fame. And you can meet a lot of people in your life, and I have definitely met a lot of folks, but I've never met anybody quite like Greg Fowler. So we're going to go ahead and get old Greg Fowler on the phone down to Fort Payne, Alabama, and see what's going on. Hey, Greg Fowler.
Yes, sir.
There he is. There's that voice. Oh, man. What's up, dude?
Oh, man. Just trying to stay warm.
No kidding.
Down here in Alabama, buddy. It's
War Eagle.
Out there. War Eagle. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year to you, man. I was telling everybody, it's funny you mentioned down there in Alabama. I was just introing this talk today, and I was telling everybody how for 13 years since I've known you, you've been packing up that car, old Brownie, that old Oldsmobile, and every time we leave on the bus and head out of town, you drive all the way up, you know, across the mountain there in Chattanooga and make your way up here to Nashville, and we've seen a lot of road together, haven't we?
Yes, we have, and it's been well worth the drive, too, my friend. All the years that we've been doing this, from the early days with the one bus and the trailer and 12 of us on there, you know, packed in like sardines and living together on the road a month or two at a time and sharing each other's everything.
Yep.
Good and bad, but it's been quite a ride. It sure has.
Well, I can't even tell you how excited I am to talk to you today. I've been so fortunate, man, to not only spend my time in my life with you over these last 13 years, but I've also been really fortunate over the last few weeks since I started this podcast to talk to people in my life that just mean so much to me. I started talking to my twin brother on the first podcast, and we piped in my best friend Marty Fish, who you know, and then it followed that up with my grandmother and grandfather talking about their love for each other and how they've been married for 70 years, and then our last podcast, we caught up with my buddy Larry Fleet, who's a great singer-songwriter that we're trying to help out and get the word out for him. But I've been really excited to, at some point, get you on the phone. So when I called you and asked you if you'd be a part of this and you said yes, I think there's probably nobody more excited than me to just kind of pick your brain and talk to you for a little bit. So I hope you don't mind, man. We get this thing kicked off and intro you to everybody out there.
Hey, my pleasure. And likewise, my friend, it's been quite an honor and a ride to have been with you these past, you know, 13 years. And I look forward to many more, sir.
Well,
absolutely.
You're a good man, Greg Fowler. And I want to start off by saying I'm in the studio right now with our buddy Keith Kaufman, who helps us put this thing together each and every week. And he mentioned something that I think is very important to start off with. Outside of all the you know, I'd already in my intro, I mentioned how you worked with Alabama, you worked with me. But aside from all that and what you've done musically, I think what's so special about you, Greg, is the heart that you have inside of you and the way you treat people and the way that for years and years, everyone that comes in contact with you just absolutely thinks of you as a buddy. You're everybody's buddy. More importantly, it's what you've done over the last 35 years for St. Jude Children's Hospital. And Keith Kaufman mentioned when I told him I was getting you on the phone today that he just ran into you at Memphis at St. Jude. And I just want everybody to know out there, and if you don't mind, kind of explain your association with St. Jude Children's Hospital over the last 35 years and how you started that with Randy and the Country Cares program. And I think that's super important to kick it off that way.
Well, thank you, Jake, and also to Keith, who's been very instrumental in being a part of the Country Cares program as well, and spearheaded by Terry Watson, who years back was the music director at KZLA in Los Angeles. And she became part of this wonderful program that we have, which celebrates, you know, the hope of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, through the efforts of country radio all across America. And it's just the most phenomenal thing that I've ever been a part of and hope to continue to be a part of. I think if I'm ever remembered for anything in my life, I want to be remembered as being a part of developing and helping to develop, along with Randy Owen, of course, the Country Cares program. And to touch on it, as you said, we, Randy and myself, saw Danny Thomas speak in Atlanta, Georgia, at the invitation of the late Rhubarb Jones, who many people in radio know was a wonderful man and he was an icon, as far as I'm concerned, in country radio. Rhubarb is no longer with us, but we were invited to Atlanta. We saw and heard Danny Thomas's inspirational speech, and Randy on the way back said, "Greg, we need to get involved somehow and help the kids in St. Jude. And what should we do?" And I said, "Well, I really don't know." And he said, "Well, let's try to figure it out." Danny Thomas was scheduled to speak at the country radio seminar in Nashville, which those of you out there that aren't familiar with how country radio's seminar works, I'll tell you, it's the biggest country event there is, and it's the gathering of programmers and broadcasters and so forth in country radio from all over the nation in Nashville. Anyway, Danny Thomas was supposed to speak. He got sick. He wasn't able to do it, and asked Randy if he would to speak on behalf of the hospital. And hopefully something that could be done through the efforts of country radio to help the kids of St. Jude. And he did. And from there, we took it on as a real cause, if you will. Country radio responded beautifully. It took a while. The first year was not so great. We had to kind of put it together hurriedly. We did a satellite broadcast, which quite honestly didn't work that well. But we went back to the drawing board the following year, and we determined that the only way to make this really, really work was to get country radio involved at the grassroots level in every market where sick kids were and the kids that needed help. And we did. And from that point on, it grew. And it, as of today, there's been over $750 million raised through the Country Cares for St. Jude Kids program. And that is absolutely phenomenal, done with the efforts of not only country radio and radiothons, which is a word that didn't even exist. A radiothon, there was telethons, but this was done exclusively with country radio. From that point on until today, over $750 million has been raised. And also, not only with radio, but also through the efforts of the record labels, which has been, we couldn't have done it without that. And also, as well, with artists such as yourself, young artists who have come long since the program was started, who embraced the cause as well. And again, I speak specifically as of you too, because you have donated generously from your efforts with the Jake Owen Foundation. You have generated and contributed quite a few thousands of dollars to the St. Jude program and also the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And it just continues to grow, and I'm very excited about it. I really am, and it will continue to grow. And Randy Owen, who spearheaded the whole program, if you will, continues to do that. It's a wonderful event. We just had the annual seminar which was attended by, I think it was almost 700 people there Saturday night at the Peabody Hotel. And Brad Paisley was there. He performed. Randy performed. We bring in songwriters to perform. You've been there. You've been a big part of this, continue to be a big part of it. And my hat's off to you too, Jake Owen, for what you've done to help not only the St. Jude cause, but others as well. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. I one of the reasons we call the show Good Company is I like talking to people that are good company, and that's exactly what you are. And that's so special how you speak of St. Jude. Now, for those out there, quickly, since we're on that point of St. Jude, almost, as you said, $750 million, almost close to $1 billion has been raised.
Yes.
And it's not, I think, for those out there to know as well, when they hear on these radio stations each year that the St. Jude Radiothon, call in, be a partner in hope, be a partner in hope. You hear that over and over and over. And for those out there that might not understand fully what that is, first off, as you know, Greg, and we can share this, that the few times that I've been over there to the hospital and learning knowledge of how they run that place, it's run completely off of donations. $1 million a day it costs to run that hospital. It might be more now since the last couple of years that I've been there. You know, it's not just the children that are getting the help and from the doctors and things. It's the families as well that aren't understanding why their daughter or son has this, or where the brothers and sisters, you know, are getting counseling through counselors that will teach them to understand why their little brother is sick, you know. And they cover every possible corner that you can cover in order to make sure that these families can get back to living a normal life. With that said, Greg, I'm glad you spoke on that, because I think it's important out there for everybody to know how important St. Jude is, but also to know the kind of heart that you have and what you've done with your extracurricular time, because Lord knows I keep you busy.
Well, I thank you, Jake. I appreciate that. I think if anybody can speak on being busy, that would have to be you, because you're on fire all the time, my friend. And I take great pride. And I've told you this many times. I said, man, I don't know how you do it either, because you're always involved in something, and you're on fire doing whatever needs to be done, whether it's your career or as you said, involved with charitable causes through the foundation, the Jake Owen Foundation, whether it's golf tournaments, concerts, helping others, working with other artists, entertainers, people in our industry, people not in the industry, to do things that count as well. And I take great pride in saying that on your behalf as well, because you too, sir, are a champion.
Well, what you said is correct, Greg, when you said if you could be remembered for anything, you'd want to be remembered for doing things like, you know, being a part of St. Jude and charitable causes. And that's exactly how I feel. You know, we do stay busy with this music career, but at the end of the day, you know, nobody's going to remember how many number one songs we had, or how many, nobody's going to remember how many CMA or ACM awards we've won, or anybody's won for that matter. They remember you for the kind of character you have. And none of us are perfect. You know that. You know that about me, man. I ain't no perfect gentleman, but I wake up every day and strive to be, and I surround myself with people like you. And when you surround yourself with good people and good company, that's the best you can do, and strive to be the best human being you can be. So I'm proud to have you in my life. And I wanted to touch on your life and how I really got to know you. And we met each other in a studio in 2006. So yep. a lot of years ago, I was recording my first album, and I wrote a song called "You Can Thank Dixie." And yep. It was a great song I wrote with my friend Jimmy Ritchie and Kendall Marvel. And I've always been such a huge fan of Alabama. Side story, we found out, you know, I took my girlfriend in Tallahassee in 2000 when I was back in college, 2001, at Florida State University, Leon County Civic Center. And I'll never forget saving my money to go take her. Her name was Jen. And we went, and I had seats almost up to the top. That's the only ones I could afford. And I could not wait to go see Alabama on the farewell tour. I remember that night, and we've chatted about this. This is before I ever knew you, but I was up there watching the show, and all of a sudden Randy just almost fell over. He couldn't move, and next thing I know, this big dude and a littler guy came out and kind of got up under his armpits and walked him off stage. And for the next 20 or 30 minutes, Jeff Cook and Teddy, and they kind of took over and just played some songs. And come to find out, after we got to know each other, that was you on stage. You were there. You took him off. Randy was suffering from vertigo at the time, and you took him off. And so we got to talk about that years later. But when I met you there at the studio on that song, Think Dixie, I'd asked Randy Owen. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Here I was, a kid, never even put a song out on the radio. I was just making my first album. No one even knew who I was. And we sent that song to Randy and said, would you mind singing on this? And sure enough, Randy Owen and the good old Greg Fowler showed up at the studio that day. If you remember, I had a kidney stone.
You did. I do remember. And we drove up in Brown, Mr. Brown. I drove Randy.
Yeah.
Randy up in an old Brownie, the Oldsmobile. But I sure do remember it. And I got some cuts of your forthcoming CD from Mr. Keith Gale, who is now Jake Owen's manager.
Yep, and standing right here. Shout out, KG.
KG, he sent me a copy of it, and I listened to all these songs, and I thought, wow, this guy is really, really good. And you had some great stuff on there already, starting with me and some of the other cuts. But I thought, wow,
yeah, don't forget Yeehaw, Greg.
Oh, I won't. Nobody can forget. And that's another story. But yeah, I do, and I remember that. And Randy heard it too, and he said he loved your voice and just the whole idea of it all. And he said, "Well, sure, I'll be happy to go up there and sing with old Jake." And he didn't had never met you either, and so we got in the old Oldsmobile and drove it up to Nashville and went in the studio. And I remember you guys were in the booth together. You were just
that was the coolest thing. We had a microphone set up in front of each other. And he was looking at me, and I was looking at him. I'd sing a line, he'd sing a line. For those out there, you can check that song out on my first album, starting with me. It's called You Can Thank Dixie. I believe it's the last song on the record. But I got to tell you, you know, being a fan, I mean, come on. Randy Owen and Alabama were the rock stars of country music from the 80s all the way up until, when was the farewell tour? 2000. I mean, you guys had how many number one songs?
I think 43 number ones, and I believe I think Alabama, I was told by Tony Conway, who was also at the seminar this weekend, that I think Alabama is among the top five artists in country music with the most number ones all time, forever.
Wow. Well, speaking of number ones and Alabama songs, Greg, that's another thing that people might not know about you is all the years that you rode the bus and were with those guys. You actually were a part of writing quite a few of those number one songs, weren't you?
We had a good run. Yeah. And the great thing is, and for those of you out there listening who may not know about bus life and so forth, when you're on a tour bus, and these are those beautiful machines that run up and down the road, and basically
it's a submarine on wheels is what it is.
Submarine on wheels, and they are your home, as you certainly know.
It's 52 feet long with 130 foot of ego inside of it.
well said. But anyway, when you're on there after a show, and usually between shows, you truly don't have a whole lot to do. I mean, you can watch, you know, TV, and which, I mean, they're well equipped, and I mean, unbelievable vehicles on, yeah, homes on wheels. But there's a lot of time when you're just bored. You don't really have a lot going on between shows, and you have time to maybe pull out an acoustic guitar and sit there and go through songs and ideas and write and so forth. And we did a lot of that. We did. We had times when we were pretty much just out rolling away, and we came up with some song titles and ideas, and I was fortunate enough to be around some guys that were master craftsmen in writing and so forth and performing, and I was able to jump in on a few things, and we had some success doing it. We sure did.
Well, you're quite humble, Greg, but Greg was a part of songs like "There's a Sad Looking Moon Shining Down on Me," and you did "We'll Go Dancing."
Oh, yeah.
Shagging on the Boulevard. But my one of my favorites, I think, that you were a part of, Greg, was "How Do You Fall in Love?"
Yeah, that's, thank you.
"How Do You Say I Do?" So give us a little backstory quickly on how you guys came up with that idea.
Well, that one came about. I had written lyrics. It was really for my daughter, Jordan. And I thought, you know, she was almost a teenager at the time. And I thought, one day she's going to get married. And I'm thinking, you know, how do you say that? How do you feel, you know? I mean, everyone feels love in different ways. And I thought, I'm going to just come up with some lines, some ideas of how that would be best portrayed. And I did. And I wrote pretty much 90%, I guess, of the lyrics of the song itself. And then Teddy had this melody. I mean, and we hadn't even talked about any song or anything. I'd just written it down almost like a poem. And he had this melody with no lyrics, and we were in the back of the bus one day, as we said, traveling, you know, rolling along, and I said, man, I got an idea. And Teddy had this melody, and the lyrics absolutely fit. I mean, it was unbelievable how the lyrics fit.
That's how things work out. Teddy had. Special songs work that way.
And then Randy got involved and really made it, I mean, he took it to another level when Randy Owen got involved in it, and he had some of the coolest lines, you know, of all as we perfect. As you know, as a songwriter, you start off in one direction and you may take it totally in another realm and or change, you know, lyrics as you go until you feel like you've gotten it right before you actually record it. So that's how it went down. And ironically enough, and fittingly, I guess, when Jordan eventually did get married, that song was part of the father-daughter dance at her.
That is great. Wow.
So it was kind of cool how it all worked out, you know.
Speaking of how it worked out, would you ever thought you would have spent 25 years on the road with a guy named Randy Owen and then the next 15 on the road with a guy named Jake Owen? How weird is that?
No, and what's ironic about that, too, is you're Owen, O-W-E-N, and everybody wants to put an S on the end. I'm sure you know about this. Forever with Randy Owen, it was Randy Owen. With the S.
Oh, yeah. Jake Owens. I've been Jack Owens, too. I remember we played that show in Baltimore, and I was with Brad Paisley, and we showed up.
Yes.
And I looked up at the marquee. It said, Brad Paisley with special guest, Jack Owen. And,
oh, yeah, we took a picture of that. Jack Owens. Well, Jack, you've done well, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. I kind of briefly told everybody in my intro how you started in radio in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You're also a Radio Hall of Famer, by the way, for those out there. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you, John Anthony?
Hall of Shamer,
yeah. And during that time is when you got involved in knowing the boys in Alabama. They were playing the Bowery, and then about that time they got signed and they put out that first album, which had songs like My Home's in Alabama. They have Why Lady Why.
Yeah.
All those big hit songs, and they needed a guy to go out on the road with them and help them with what you're great at, radio. And so you have had a wife and children. I think you had Jay at the time and your beautiful wife, Shirley, that not only said yeah to you then and supported you, but you guys made the move, and you went out on the road with Alabama and started that career with them. And, I mean – shoot, we could talk for hours about everything you did with Alabama. But I think what was special is when you told me how you said I was there from the Bowery to the Hall of Fame. And
That was cool. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, there's so many accolades that we could sit here and highlight that you've done. But I think to me, man, what I really wanted to talk to you about in the next, 8 or 10 minutes that we've got left here is we could sit here, like I said, talk about everything you've done with Alabama, talk about everything that you've done with me. But what's important to me about you, Greg, is the kind of person you are. And I think that's what we tend to talk about here on Good Company, is that you've been married for how long to Shirley now?
42 years.
42 years. You know, we talked to my grandparents. We talked to my grandparents.
Let me do the math on that. Yeah, 42 years.
Yeah, I talked to my grandparents about their marriage of 70 years and asked them how they did it, you know, and they gave us their insight on that. And I think it's important for those out there that are listening that might not necessarily be in the music business, but are that kind of father that has to travel each week, or they spend time away from their kids. And I've not only watched you be the utmost professional out on the road and help me and Alabama, for that matter, become the artist and do the things that we've done. But to me, what is so just unbelievably appealing about you, Greg, is the kind of father that you've always been and the kind of husband that you've been to your wife. And I just thought maybe you could share maybe some thoughts on how you've maintained that over the years for those out there that deal with the same thing, that deal with, you know, maybe being away from their husband or wife for 3-4 days a week and come home and then go from work to Insta-dad, you know? And I know there's times you've talked about how I bring this up not to break your heart again, but I know you've told me about how you still hurts you sometimes when Jordan, your pretty little daughter, was homecoming queen, Fort Payne, Alabama, and you weren't there to see her. I wish I could have been there. Yeah, old John Anderson. Old John. But I'm talking a lot here. I'll let you speak. But I there's so much that intrigues me about you, Greg, and the kind of person you are and why I love being around you. And thought you could share some insight with those out there on how you can always maintain your job and do the best as you do and show how you do it, but also be an unbelievable father figure and a husband.
Well, you set the bar really high there, buddy. I can promise you that. Oh, and by the way, after further review, I've been married almost 46 years.
After further review, was Shirley standing right there with her hands like going, 4-6, Greg, 4-6.
I had to do the quick math on that one, but no, first of all, I give credit to Shirley for so much of it, because, as you know, you're a parent. You know, you have a beautiful daughter, Pearl, and when you're on the road, you miss a lot of things. But the reason you're on the road is to be able to provide for your family and to take care of your children and your spouse or whomever. And it just makes it's not always easy. Certainly, I mean, I know growing up, we had twins at home, and I'm on the road. And when our oldest son was, you know, maybe 12, and the kids were born, and it was just it was tough, you know, because we were traveling a lot at the time, and still do for that matter. But you know, as the kids they're getting sick, somebody's got to take them to the doctor, you know, or school events going on. There's homework. There's just things that are part of a family's life as you have children and they continue to grow. And it's not without a great deal of sacrifice, certainly on everyone's part, but I specifically credit that to her and to anyone who's in that position, whether you're on the road in a band or an artist or a traveling individual or especially, you know, our folks in the military. I mean, nothing speaks louder than that. And the sacrifices that have to be done. And I was very fortunate to have a support group. My wife and sometimes some neighbors would help out, you know, when she had to do things as well. And that enabled me to do my job and to do it with good conscience that I was doing the right thing as far as trying to, you know, provide and take care of my family. And at the same time, I couldn't have done it, I don't think, without the help that I was getting back home and the support I was getting back home and you know, what it was, homework with the kids, you know, PTA meetings, things that I just couldn't be there for. And you know, and it speaks volumes about having someone to help you, to help you make dreams come true, really. Yeah. And as I said, I couldn't have done it without her.
Well, you definitely have a great wife, and Shirley, I've seen throughout all these years how she supported you. And hey, you know what? Maybe Greg, part of the reason you've been married so long is because you have been gone all the time.
Well, no, it's true. Oh, listen, trust me. Yes, amen to that, my friend. Yeah, we've had that discussion too, because sometimes when we're not on the road, you know, during the holidays or whatever, we're off for a couple of months, you know, a month or so. It's like she's going, you think it's about time to go back out? Everyone, well, you know, we all have our lives, you know, collectively and individually and regimens and schedules and so forth. So, yeah, sometimes you can be in the kitchen too long, you know, but it's always good to go and it's great to come back. you know.
Well, I know she probably loves seeing you, man, when you come home as much as I like seeing you when you hop on the bus and we head out of town. It reminds me of that old song, ironically enough, that I sat here my last podcast with my good old buddy Larry Fleet, and we sang that song called The Conversation. And and he says about old Hank, he's like, you know, he'd be the first one on a bus and ready to ride. And so that's like you, Greg, man. You're like old Hank, the first one on the bus and ready to ride every time.
Yeah, like straight, an old troubadour, you know. I'm that guy too, you know, But I got to say something too, man, if I could, and I can because I got the phone. But you also, and I mean this, you, as I said, we were at St. Jude this weekend, and there are a lot of artists that have come along since you've gotten your record deal, and they look up to you too, man. They look to Jake Owen for advice and want to know what can I do, how can I do this, and I think sometimes we forget our place in the royal order of life, and you are very well respected in this industry, man. And people, I know I spoke with Drake White, I spoke with him and Lance, and some of these guys that have been, you know, on the scene much less than you have, and dude, they want to know how does Jake Owen do it, and to your credit, man, you're well respected in this industry as well, sir.
Well, thanks, man. Like I said earlier, it's good company. I've got good people around me that help me each and every day, and you, my friend, are one of those folks that's right there beside me along the way, and I can't thank you enough for all the years that you've given me, and we've got a lot ahead of us, that's for sure, too. I mean, it's funny to think after all these years, 13 years on the road together, I've seen your hair get a little bit more gray. And I've earned a couple in my chin. I'm starting to get a couple coming in every now and then in the chin region.
Like a black lab, man.
But I started this podcast. I was very thankful when my friend Mr. Bobby Bones asked me. He said, "Man, I think you've got a lot to say, and I think you've got things you can share with people." When he said that, it was really flattering for me because I thought to myself, you know what? I do have a lot to share that I'd love for people out there to hear about more than what they get to see us do on a daily basis on the road. Just get out of a tour bus, walk on stage, sound check, sing, wave to the crowd, see you later. You know, there's a lot about our lives that are so special. And I have been able to spend a bunch of special moments with you. You've helped me earn a lot of those special moments. And I can't thank you enough for the time that you've given me today to talk to me. I can't thank you enough for the time that you've given me throughout my career. And I hope you tell Shirley back down home there in Alabama. I hope you're getting some good home cooking while you're down there. We're back at it on the road here shortly. So I love you, man. And like I said, we could have talked for hours on everything that you've accomplished in your life, but I thought it was just going to be fun to chat with you and connect people out there that have seen you side stage. They've seen me pull you up on stage and sing Alabama songs throughout the years. But there's nobody, man, on this earth that's more proud to have you as a friend than I am. And I love you, man. You're like a second dad to me, and I appreciate everything you've ever given me.
Well, man, I appreciate you saying that, too. And I really do, and likewise, my friend. I wanted to say one thing, too, while I was thinking about it, and I missed it earlier. When I left, I didn't leave Alabama. We farewelled. We were pretty much done and had the opportunity to go to work with you. And Keith Gale, who's your current manager, who is the manager, was the guy that I spoke with. You just played in Portland. You'd done a guitar pull, I think, a radio event in Portland, Oregon. And I asked Keith, do you think, what do you think of Jake, man? I mean, there's an opportunity there, but I don't really know him. He doesn't know me. And Keith said, I think it would be a big mistake if you didn't take the opportunity, if you have the opportunity to go to work with Jake Owen. And so that sealed the deal for me, man. And then, as it would luck would have it, Parker Fowler worked under Keith at Sony.
That's your son.
He was his guy, my son, who's now with Triple Tigers in Nashville, and they've got a Russell Dickerson song they're moving up the charts pretty well. But
shout out Russell Dickerson.
Shout out Russell. And now it's funny how things work, because Keith Gale was also one of those gentlemen who was instrumental in the early days of the St. Jude Country Cares radio program when he was in Philadelphia. So it's just, it's ironic how things find their way in and out of our lives. And shout out to KG again, too, because he's somebody that's been in my life for a long time, and he's in our lives, and here we are. It is a family, and it is good company. And you have a great team around you, and I couldn't be more proud to be considered a part of the Jake Owen family.
Well, I appreciate you, buddy, and I look forward to seeing you soon when we get back out there. And as we started this talking about charity work, we've chatted recently about you and I really really getting even more involved with our foundation and building up some more areas where we're able to raise awareness, raise dollars, and as you mentioned, with other artists and people, getting them involved and teaching them how they can be helpful for raising awareness for these charitable causes. It's about what we do with our lives and the legacy we leave, not the smoke and mirrors and the lights and everything that y'all see out on the road. But I love you, man. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with us on the Good Company podcast. You are definitely good company, Greg Fowler.
Oh, thank you, Jake Owen, and so are you, my friend.
Oh man, well, I know you're the Auburn, Alabama guy, so War Eagle to you down there, and maybe you'll get him next year.
Well, thanks, buddy. We're trying. It's always the next year, but we're gonna get him. We'll get him.
All right, say hey to the fam down there. If you see those boys from Alabama running around Fort Payne, tell them old Jake said hey.
Well, I will, and Randy also. And speaking of that, Randy told me to tell you the same when we. We're together on Saturday night at Memphis, so there you have it.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, boss. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye, y'all.
See you, buddy. Well, that was pretty special. I love that guy. Like I said, I can't express enough how he's really been like a second father to me on the road. And for a kid like myself that was 23 years old when I got my record deal, I still feel like I'm 23 in a way, maybe maturity-wise. I don't know. I feel like I'm growing up as much as I can year after year. But I learn a lot. I've learned so much from him. I've had, what a lot of people don't understand is when you get on a bus, like he said, and you ride down the road, those are the times where you really reflect. You reflect on the show you just played. You talk about where you're going, where you've been, where you want to go. And Greg has been there for me through all those times, and we've chatted about, our life goals together and how we can be better as human beings. And I'm thankful, and I think everybody out there should be thankful for those kinds of friends that they have in their life, and that truly is good company. Appreciate y'all again tuning in. This is Jake Wolf. Later.